morning and welcome to America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. And I've already screwed it up. That's what you get when you get out of practice, I reckon. And I forgot to take the cue off and put it on manual, and it went right into another station break, but that happens. Want to tell everybody that we had a little technical problem that we resolved between the hour of 9 and 10. So if you missed hearing our luscious voices or programming coming out, sorry about that, but every now and then you have to do a little housekeeping. So with that being said, good morning, Dan.
Well, good morning, Dave, and I think that's the way you make your audience appreciate you. Just give them some dead air and they won't know what to do, and then you come back on and they feel so much better. It's so much relief.
The pause.
Yes, they know that America's Web Radio is blasting it out.
The pause that refreshes, right?
So the pause that refreshes.
Do you remember whose line was that?
Well, was it Dinah Shore or was it
No, what company had that for a slogan?
Coca-Cola.
You're right. That's it. And we're ready when you are.
You mean to sing it?
No, just tell me whose line was that?
Perry Como.
No.
Andy Williams.
This was a company that was their motto. We're ready when you are.
Oh, we're ready when you. I thought you were. Okay. I've never even heard that.
Delta Airlines.
I'm not familiar with that.
And how about it's not nice to fool Mother Nature?
That's what you said.
No. I just said it, yeah. But you know what company said it?
Oh, no.
Chiffon Margarine.
How come you to think of that?
Who was owned by Western Cotton Oil Mill there in Lubbock.
Oh. A Lubbock connection. One of the Lubbock
Actually, it was my uncle's connection. That was a company. Western Cotton Oil Mill was owned by, and I assume still is, owned by Anderson Clayton. And my uncle was CEO. So there you go.
Hmm.
How about that? But, you know, I tell you what, it is sort of fun to go back and reminisce over old slogans. 10, 2, and 4. Whose big thing was that?
Well, that's Dr. Pepper.
Yep. And you know why?
Because you needed a little lift at 10, 2, and 4, or you had to go to the bathroom at 10, 2, and 4?
Bingo. Like you hit it on the last one. And you know why? You know the main ingredient of Dr. Pepper?
Prunes, sure.
Prunes, yeah, exactly. And Dr. Pepper was a traveling, you know, you see these things on TV, the horse and carriage guy that's going across, Dr. Widget, that's who Dr. Pepper was. And he was a traveling snake oil salesman and spent a lot of time in Middle Texas, East Texas, Waco area. And my grandfather knew him, and eventually that had been my grandfather's desire was to own Dr. Pepper plants, and he did bought them during the Depression and sold them right after the Depression.
Hmm.
But the 10, 2, and 4.
Like that might have made the man some money.
The 10, 2, and 4 on the bottle was, that's what Dr. Pepper used to say. You drink a Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4, and you'll be as regular as clockwork.
Well, you know, I do know that soft drinks used to taste a lot better when I was a kid than they taste now. It seems like now they are so sugary, I can't stand them, any of them.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
But when I was a kid, they were very refreshing. Now,
yeah.
I don't know if they changed or I changed.
Well,
somebody changed.
our taste buds do change as we age, as do a number of things change as we age, as we have all come to appreciate and respect that we ain't what we used to be.
But yeah, things are different.
Yeah, things are different.
Things.
So what time's your flight to D.C. Thursday?
Yeah, that's going to be quite an event, isn't it? There's going to be a million people there.
Well,
it's going to be quite an event.
You know, we have a jerk over here called John Lewis. He's been a representative of a bad district in Atlanta, Georgia for a number of years. You know, they keep building him up like he was something big. He's big, but he's just big mouth, and he's not a good representative. He marched with Martin Luther, which I guess everybody's celebrating today. We're not, but or America's Web Radio isn't anyway. But anyway, so you got this John Lewis that's, well, I'm not going to the inauguration. That's fine. Who cares whether you go or not? I mean, it's just as well you're not there. You probably wouldn't. They use 50-cent and dollar words, and you probably wouldn't understand them anyway. So don't go. Who cares? And it's along the line too of these celebrities that are falling out. I heard the best one today that I've ever heard from one of the newscasters, and she said, I don't even know, Jennifer somebody that is protesting and not going to perform. And the commentator said, or the news lady said, you know, she's probably getting more recognition by not going than by performing, because nobody's ever heard of her anyway. And I thought
that's true.
You know, I thought that was sort of dead on, and I loved it coming from somebody else. I know you and I sort of agree on a few things, but I think so far I'm liking what I'm seeing and liking what I'm hearing. And you mess with me, well, you're going to get trumped on, or trumped on, as the case might be. You know, I think he needs to put his Twitter away for a while, maybe, or give it a rest. But I think the world's in for, in fact, I hope it's in for a big change. What's your feeling?
Well, I certainly agree with that. And there are certainly a lot of people who are very disturbed by the fact that Trump is going to be the president.
Why?
A lot of people that I talk to are just so emotional about it.
Why?
They put so much energy into objecting to what he stands for and what he's doing. So he must be doing something good.
Yeah. Well, at least he stands for something. That's more than I can say for the last jerk.
Well, I think it depends on how his cabinet comes together. And his cabinet is a bunch of pretty strong-willed people, I think you would agree.
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to do their own individual things, or are they going to work in lockstep with the president? How's that going to work? I don't know yet.
You know,
I don't think they should be a rubber stamp, and I hope they're not a rubber stamp, but you know, are they going to get along with the president? Is he going to see a lot of fallout in his cabinet in the first year?
Yeah, you know that big pocket that you got on the left-hand side that has all the money on it? We'll start pulling out some of the money, and I'll give you my opinion.
Oh, you have a prediction or an opinion?
I think it's both, actually, from what I've seen. Here's, you know, a smart man surrounds himself by smart people, and that doesn't mean that maybe some of them are smarter than the smart man is. And I think that's exactly what Donald Trump has done. He's going into it, and let's take it from a military standpoint. He's not a military man, so he's surrounded himself by military people that know what the hell they're talking about and know, you know, should know what they're doing. And what I've seen from the confirmation hearing so far, I really, really like. And that is that they don't seem to be all rubber stamped. Well, Donnie said for me to say this. No, they're telling it like they feel like it is. And I think that's exactly what Trump wants. I think they will go back to Trump and say, okay, here it is. And then on the other side of the coin, though, they will respect his opinion as he makes the decisions that have to be made. And I think from everything I'm seeing and hearing and feeling, and this is just a totally outsider, but I like it that you know, we've got a leader, he'll listen, make a decision, and his people that have advised him will accept it and work on what he says to do. So that's a leader.
You think he's going to lead from the front or from the back?
Oh, I no question. I think he will lead from. It's not going to be leading from the rear. Ah, what a crock!
Wonder what a joke that is.
You wonder what idiot came up with that expression. No, I think he will lead. I think he will negotiate. I think he will compromise, but I think it will always be to America's advantage. I don't think he'll roll over and play dead on anything. Which, in my opinion,
well,
we need. We need it.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be real fun and real interesting. And, you know, somebody said that these protesters are like people shooting a hole in the canoe, you know, just because they don't like the canoe or something, and everybody goes down. What's the analogy? There's a great analogy out there. We're all in the same canoe, and they're shooting holes in the bottom of it. And I guess maybe the Republicans had a little problem with Obama and didn't support Obama very well either. So I would be hypocritical if I said, you know, we supported Obama, so you should support Trump. But the man is president, and I hope that he's a successful president. And I would hope that the Democrats are hoping that he's a successful president. They won't, but I would hope that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I still believe in the Tooth Fairy, by the way. So
the Tooth Fairy?
Yeah, the Tooth Fairy.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Toby Keith is going to be singing, and Lee Greenwood at the inauguration. I think those two guys are pretty cool.
Yeah, I like
pretty
Lee.
Pretty cool.
I've had the opportunity to meet Lee Greenwood here in Atlanta one time, and you know, he's just a nice guy. I got to chat with him for maybe 4 minutes, 5 minutes, or something like that. But, you know, I stood back and listened to him talking to other folks, and the bottom line was he was just a nice guy. What's wrong with that? Heaven forbid, you know? And that's what we need. We need some nice guys. We need some nice guys doing their thing, you know, as well.
Well, we need people who are real and that can be role models for inner-city black youth. And we've had the other kind. We've had people that, you know, rap and curse and swear and call the cops pigs. And, you know, our country has, you know, you wonder why we have a racially divided country. Look at the entertainers.
Yeah.
And those entertainers are the same people that are opposing and won't come to the inauguration. And they probably haven't been invited, number one. And number two, I hope they don't come.
Yeah, I just assume them stay at home and suck their thumbs, you know. And that's what a lot of them seem to do. They're babies. Let me ask you something. okay, this somebody, this Jennifer, who has decided she won't be there. She's not going to entertain. And like the lady said, who is she anyway? But she decided, she made that decision off of information that she's read about Trump on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Hello? Come in. Come in. You know, if that's her news source, she has a problem. And I have, you know, you can Google Trump. You can find out anything you want. I wouldn't take the word of anybody on Facebook. I wouldn't take the word of any reporter on any news channel. Look it up for yourself. Find out what kind of, you know, find out that Trump gave his plane to fly a kid that needed help, medical help. Trump has done a lot of unannounced humanitarian things in his life. Mayor Giuliani mentioned just a few the other day that nobody's ever heard of. Trump just did it. He could afford to do it, and he did it. I know a lot. There are lots of other folks that can afford to do it and won't do it. So, you know, I think we may have a good guy there. Did we miss the break?
No, we're right. We did miss the break.
We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And you're lucky. You're back on the Dan and Dave Show. And we've got Dan from...
Yeah, the longest hour in radio.
That's it. We make people enjoy it for all of 59 minutes and 59 seconds. And they just... They're like pigs going to the slop, you know? They can't get enough of it. Or maybe it's pigs going to slaughter. I can't remember.
So did you have pigs on the farm? I bet you didn't.
Yeah, I did. Hampshires.
You did?
Hampshires.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Black and white. Hampshires. Hampshire hogs.
Did you have just one or two for meat, or did you sell them, or...?
No, you'll love this story. If this is not, you can appreciate it. So my friend and I, we buy a couple of sows, and then we go to the big Hampshire auction, and we buy the champion boar from the show. So Jerry Overman was my partner in this little enterprise. So this was on Saturday, okay? A Saturday. We buy the winner of the show. He takes our boar home with him. They had a farm as well, he and his father did. So he takes the boar home, And he calls me Sunday afternoon late and says, Dave, you know, we got a little problem. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, you know, that championship boar that we bought is dead.
No.
So I said, well, and he said, well, I took him to the vet and I had an autopsy done. I said, Jerry, why'd you do that? My God, that's just good money after bad. And he said, well, I just was concerned that, you know, you'd think we had done something or, you know, something. And plus I wanted to know, why did this stupid boar die? So I didn't know this at the time. Obviously, I didn't know it. But, you know, one of the reasons that humans have pig valves and pig parts replaced in human bodies?
No.
Because they're the most adaptable and the closest to human parts, particularly heart valves. So the autopsy and the vet told Jerry, he said, well, this is not really strange. We the Hampshire hog, the boar that we had bought, was from just south of, well, Fredericksburg, Texas. And you have to be real careful in transporting hogs anywhere because they get so excited and they're very prone to have heart attacks when they are driven a long ways and then they go through a show and they're very excitable, believe it or not. And this poor boar, no, it was poor me and Jerry. It wasn't poor boar. To hell with him. He died. But Jerry and I had spent good money buying him at auction. And you know how auctions go. But he had died of heart failure because he had just gotten too excited about the opportunity to come be with. So, to make a long story short, we call the guy that we bought him from in Fredericksburg, and Jerry and I jumped in the pickup, hooked the trailer up, and we hauled tail to Fredericksburg, picked up our champion boar's brother, and brought him back, and let that boy start servicing our sows.
Well, did you return the champion to the previous owner?
No, we had the vet dispose of him.
Oh.
And such was life.
Oh. But well, so you had a lot of little piglets as a result.
As a result, yes. And it was funny. We had two sows, and, you know, as luck would have it, or not have it, they both obviously they both decided to give birth at the same time. Poor Jerry and poor Jerry. Why am I me? Poor me. But anyway, so we hadn't put our lights into our hog house yet. So I had, as they decided to drop the pigs at night, about midnight, both of them, I had to tear down just a little section of the fence so I could get my little Ford tractor in and shine light on what was going on. And one of them started, and we thought, okay, well, you know, so one gives. And then we hadn't any more than delivered, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 pigs. And the other sow decided to drop them. And it was a long evening, to say the least.
Yeah, because they don't have just one or two babies.
No.
No. No. Yeah. When they lay down, they have a whole double row of feeding stations, and they like to have a little customer plugged into each feeding station, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So you might have 8 or 12.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember how many we wound up with, but, God, what a night. What a night.
Well, I like pigs, but I never actually owned a pig. I went to a lot of county fairs and spent a lot of time over in the pig section, namely because I found that some of the cutest girls had pigs, and the cute girls were pig exhibitors, so smart me figured out right quick that I better like pigs.
Okay. Well, we have totally turned off the one listener that we had, and so we went from politics to pigs. I guess the only thing we had in common is staying with the P, huh?
Well, and some politicians are pigs, so I think it's a pretty close segue.
Yeah.
But anyway, now what do you want to talk?
Well, actually,
talk about the inauguration.
Well, you brought up something that we talked a little bit about it last week. But this thing of that idiot from Missouri hanging that picture up, and you were talking about the cops and the picture of the cops being pigs and all this. You know, mm-hmm. I have absolutely, I don't know who the representative is, but whoever he is, I have no respect for him, none whatsoever, and feel like that Hunter that took it down had Duncan Hunter from California. I think he had every right, and I think it's deplorable that a representative would even consider putting a painting like that up on the walls in Congress.
I agree.
So we had tar and feather the son of a gun from Missouri, representing Ferguson, Missouri. You know,
it's going to be interesting to see how Trump's leadership goes downhill, you know, how his example encourages or discourages certain actions. And, you know, if you look at a corporation, the CEO has a great deal of influence on that corporation, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, no question about it.
People that are coming up, the leaders in that corporation, really look to the top guy and want to emulate him and be in his good light.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, are we going to see a lot of Trump imitators? And would that be a bad thing? I don't know.
Well, I think that's an interesting question, a very interesting question, in that you'd have to make a total ass out of yourself to try to emulate Donald Trump. Talking about throwing away the mole, I don't think you'd there's only one Donald Trump, and to try to copy him, try to be in any way, try to be like him, I think you'd wind up looking like a real jerk. By the same token, I think that Trump is Trump, and I don't think he would respect anybody that kissed up to him or tried to emulate him, you know?
You know, they have, you see these before and after pictures of presidents. Obama, when he took office, he was a young-looking man, no gray hair, and now he's grayed and he's got lines on his face. It's going to be interesting to see Trump before and after. He may actually enjoy the job so much that it's good for him.
Yeah.
He may be one of the few that come out looking better than before he went in.
And his wife, too.
One thing is bothering me, and maybe you
well,
can
hold that thought, Dan. We got to take a break, and let's talk about it when we get back. We'll be back right after this.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back. And to answer your question, no. No one in my family listens to the show. I would hope you'd respect that they have better taste than that. But
well, they hear you enough anyway. Hey, that's what right. I was going to ask before the break regarded Donald Trump, and something really bothers me, and I don't know, I'm not sure if I'm just getting used to his hairdo, but his hairdo doesn't look as crazy as it used to. Has he changed barbers?
You know, that's way above my pay grade to know something like that.
And, I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and I, you know, the hairdo doesn't stand out. I don't know.
Hey, if you look at his hair and you know, can be judgmental upon his hair, well, then that's between you and Mr. Trump, I guess. I don't know.
I'm not being judgmental. I'm telling him his hair is looking better.
Well, that's good.
I guess I am making judgment, aren't I?
I would think so, but, you know, if you don't want to call it that.
At least he's got hair.
Now, right? there's no need to be rude.
Oh.
And discuss people that are lacking a bit of hair. It's just a small amount, you know?
Well, God just thought you had the most beautiful head, and he wanted other people to see it.
Expose it to the world, yes. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Anyway, so they had a shooting down in a Mexican bar. If anybody, that you know, in Mexico, that Americans frequent, I hate to say it, but that doesn't surprise me exactly. What other news is there going on? This deal of the hacking of the Russians, do you think... You know, they keep making such a big deal out of it. You know, I don't, in my opinion, maybe they did try to hack in. Maybe they did hack in. But where would Putin be going with it? That makes no sense whatsoever. They're not going to change the way we do business. They weren't going to put 10 jillion... Electoral College folks in Hillary's pocket. You know, other than making a statement, we can do what we want to, maybe. I'm not sure what's going on. Speaking of that, what's your girlfriend doing these days, Hillary?
You know, I don't know, but let's stay on the Russian thing for just a minute and then come back to Hillary. But... I think the Russians probably were hacking, and I think it's a learning experience. I think these hackers, whether they're Russian or Chinese, they're always hacking, you know, and they have probably a pretty high failure rate, but you don't hear about the failures. All you hear about is the successes. And I'm pretty confident that the Russians did do some hacking. They didn't hack into an election booth and change the machine, and I don't know that they were trying to get Trump elected, although that's what the Democrats would have you to believe.
Yeah, now, Hillary says I lost. Hillary says I lost because of the Russians hacking. Give me a break.
I think she lost because the FBI director stepped up at a bad time and said, we're reopening the investigation. What was that, 11 or 12 days before the election? I mean, that had to drive the Democrats crazy right there. And they're all over the FBI director now wanting him to resign. And maybe he should. It puzzled me that he reopened that investigation and then a few days later said, nope, nothing to it. I didn't understand that whole sequence of events. I didn't understand him originally saying that Hillary was guilty, but we're not going to prosecute. I didn't understand that. So maybe we do need a more consistent FBI director.
Well, I think not only FBI director, but I think when we get a new AG, Attorney General, that will help. I don't think Lynch was, you know, if they want to check something out, what were Lynch and Billy Boy doing on the same plane talking about their golf games and their grandchildren? You know, the whole thing. It's amazing. Anything connected with the Clintons has a distinct odor. And we were talking about pigs before. If you're around pigs, they have an odor. But, you know, for all of the stuff that they've tried to lay on Trump at this point, you know, they hadn't really come up with anything, to my knowledge. Have they, to yours?
I think the most damning thing was when he got off the bus and he and the reporter were talking about women. I think that was the most damning thing, but other than that, no. The women that came forward seemed to have allegations, but they disappeared. Now, maybe they were bought off by Trump. Maybe they each walked away with $10 million. I don't know. Nothing stuck that I remember.
Yeah.
And do you think there will be continued investigations when we get a new AG on Hillary? Will there be a continuation of that case, or was there a case? I'm not sure.
Nor am I. No, I think I think the consensus will be she's dead and buried, and they'll go away.
Leave her alone.
You know, yeah, just. She's going to drift down the creek by herself. We know what she is. I don't think the general public would deny she's a liar. She was a terrible, terrible candidate. You know, I'm not that I could have done any better, but I just, and it wasn't even her politics. She was just, to me, a very offensive candidate.
Would it be safe to say that she won't be at the inauguration?
Well, you know, supposedly I thought that they were going to be there. I don't know. Depending on whether it's whether Bill invites her to be his date or he gets somebody else that's better looking, I don't know. But I think the former presidents generally do attend the, and I'd heard that they would be there, yeah. But you know,
yeah, I think you're right.
I must say, I hope we've heard the end of them. I hope that, well, it probably wouldn't be in our lifetime, or my lifetime anyway. But Chelsea is no better than her father, in my opinion. Or her mother, and I hope that she doesn't try to run on their name. But I think the Clinton name is pretty tarnished at this point. Pretty tired.
I think it's very tarnished. What will happen with the Clinton Foundation? Will it just dry up?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, and I wished you hadn't. What did I hear today? And it was just on the news today. Oh, I don't want to get it wrong. Some big supporters, and I believe it was from several different countries, and one of them I was surprised at because I thought they were more or less a decent ally, but country, you know, this whole big deal of, well, they have the foundation and they're trying to buy off Hillary and you know, get special treatment from when she was in the State Department, and now they've donated X billions of dollars to her campaign, and when she lost, there was quite a suction sound coming out of the foundation as multiple nations withdrew their commitments to the Clinton Foundation, and still are, and I think the Clinton Foundation will bite the proverbial bullet. What am I going to get if I donate? Nothing.
Yeah, they've laid off 22 staffers, and they've closed down their Clinton Global Initiative program, whatever that was. They're crumbling. They're imploding.
Which again, to me, indicates that people contributing were only contributing for what can I get out of this by contributing, not because I think the foundation's the one-all and be-all.
Yeah, now we were talking about the new AG, and I would hope that the AG would investigate the Clinton Foundation more. I think that probably warrants investigation, and just leave Hillary personal email stuff out of it. But look into Bill and the Clinton Foundation and what kind of favors they were really selling.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We'll see.
I think that, you know, it would intertwine to a degree with the, or have to, with the server business, but again, I don't know. You know, it's sad that it's all, you know, I guess this has been the way of the world since day one, really. It all comes back down to follow the money. And who's, you know, buying
human
influence.
Human nature, follow the money and power.
Yep. And it's been there. It was certainly there in the Bible. It's certainly there. It's everywhere. And nothing has changed.
Human nature hasn't changed. Hey, there is something sad to report, and that's that the Ringling Brothers Circus is closing.
Yeah, you know, I heard that yesterday.
Yeah, after more than 100 years, they're closing. And I don't know if you remember as a child going to a Ringling Brothers Circus, but I do. And it seems like they were busy. They were in a lot of places. I went to two or three of them. And I always found it kind of fun. You know, it smelled like poop.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a lot of strange-looking people, crazy-looking people, and clowns that I didn't think were too funny, but a lot of people did. And, you know, it was a crazy place to go to, but it created memories.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
I'm sad that they're closing.
You know, I never went to one until I moved to Atlanta. Lubbock was never big enough to have Ringling Brothers. We had a number of other smaller circuses come into town on occasion, and we went to them, but I never saw Ringling Brothers until I moved to Atlanta. With that being said, we got to take our next break. We'll be back on America's Web Radio right after this.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. on Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
Forty-five years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
This is Skip Corio, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week for a full hour of all the best and latest information on how you can get the skills and equipment you need to protect the ones that you love.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on America's Web Radio, the Dan and Dave Show, live and direct from Portland, Oregon and Atlanta, Georgia. You think that impressed anybody?
We need to talk about something here, too, the Obama health care. Do you think that's going to go away, and do you think Trump is going to replace it with a better plan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what good or bad. I know Tom Price. Tom's been in the studio a number of times. In fact, Tom used to do a little five-minute segment for us every Friday. Tom Price has introduced a plan to Congress for X number of years now, and this is one reason that Trump has made him the Secretary of Human Services. Tom's
Health and Human Services. Yeah.
Tom. His plan, Dr. Price's plan, is a pretty good plan. The best thing that it brings to the table is competition. And, you know, there are a lot of people, you and I are entrepreneurs and have always been in our own business, basically, and we know what the word competition means. There are a lot of people that have never been in business, have never had to sign a check, have never had to make payroll, and they're scared to death of the word of competition. But that single thing, that single word will make all the difference in the world in medicine. I couldn't tell you how many of the doctors that do shows for us, we've talked about it, Doctors for Patient Care, the big supporters of it. And when I say competition, I mean competition among insurance companies where you can buy across the line instead of having to only buy from in-state. Competition, we have a deal, it's called CON, Certificate of Need in Georgia. And that means if you and I want to open a hospital and compete with one of the big hospitals across the street, we can't do it unless we prove that there is a certificate and get a certificate of need. Therefore, we have a situation in Atlanta where the hospitals are basically little monopolistic empires. I mean, you pay out the gazoo when you go to a hospital in Atlanta, and what your insurance doesn't pay, you're expected to pay. And they've been getting away with this for a long time. They need to do away with, and I hope they will, and it's, again, competition. They need to do away with the thing that, I don't know if you knew it, or if you know it, maybe you do, that two doctors can't talk about money. They can't have a civil conversation and talk about money under any circumstance, whether it the cost of aspirin or the cost of a procedure. They will go to jail and lose their license if the word money comes up in a conversation. So again, put competition into it. If we have a competitive health care system, you'll see prices come down. You'll see service go up. You'll see pharmaceuticals should be in a competitive situation, and so should insurance. So go ahead and send me the check for that rant and rave, would you please?
Well, you do know that 20 million people have gained coverage under Obama's care.
Yeah, I know that.
That's substantial.
But what have they gained? They can't afford it.
Well, I know that, you know, I'm kind of an insurance dummy, but the way I understand Obamacare is that your deductible has, the cost of the plan has skyrocketed.
Yep.
And the deductible has gone up, so you have this very expensive plan with a high deductibility that you never
can't afford to use.
Claims you can't afford to use.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I would characterize Obamacare. So if we have Trump care, I would hope that we can afford to use it, because that's, and I would hope that there's some preventative care aspects too. You know, you need to keep your weight down or blood pressure under control. I don't know. It just seems like the person ought to have some responsibility for their own health.
Well, I tell you what, and again, one thing I think that will come out of this, and this would be my, I suggested this the other day. I was in a closet by myself, in a dark closet, and so I suggested it where nobody would hear. But I think that one of the best things that will come out of what Tom Price offers is the HSA, which in turn, I think an HSA, that's health savings account, I think, and this was my suggestion to myself, is that you could solve a ton of problems with Social Security if you had a Social Security account. Do the health savings account and do a Social Security account the same way. Give an individual the choice and monitor it. Just like you were saying about healthcare, if you monitor it, you keep your blood pressure down, you're active, you exercise, you do this, you do that, yada da da da, you can have a health savings account and you get a lower rate. If you drink like a fish, smoke like a stove, and don't take care of yourself, you're overweight, then you're penalized. Why should my premium be the same as your premium if you're a pig? But that could also be done in the Social Security side of it. We could always take care of everybody with some shape, form, or fashion of Social Security, but those that really want to have Social Security as a retirement plan, have an SSA, Social Security account, where people donate and they use their money that they're paying in to buy good stock, and you could monitor it just like you do the health care. So what do you think of that, big boy?
Yeah, I think an HSA makes sense. Make people accountable for the way they spend their health dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that when they spend money, some of it comes out of their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I think the country, the United States, has plenty of money to solve its social ills, but I think it's the way it's been spent. And I know in healthcare there's a lot of graft, corruption, overpricing, inefficiencies, and that kind of stuff that sucks up billions and billions of dollars every year. Get rid of that if you could, and you'd have plenty of money for everybody to enjoy a good, solid health care package.
Well, yeah, I think you hit it on the head, graft. And again, it's follow the money. Who's making money out of it? Your hospitals, your pharmaceuticals. Was it Margaret Thatcher that said socialism is great until the money runs out?
Yeah, something like that.
And it's true, yeah. You know. And we've got to get as Americans, we got to get away from. You got a free ride when you're in America, because it can't last. The people that are making money, and I think this showed up with the election. I think this was a very pronounced statement that people that work hard, make some money, they're tired of giving it away to the government. They want to see the government do something. And they're tired of, they don't want to just give it to anybody walking down the street. They want results.
Well, I think people would pay taxes if they can see the results. And it gets back to the word that you and I have talked about quite a bit, and that's trust. We mistrust everybody right now. You know, we mistrust the banker. We mistrust the hospital, the politician. There's nobody that we trust. And if we could get the trust back working, I think I wouldn't feel so bad about paying taxes. I would know that it's being handled by people that are, you know, going to be good fiduciaries for me. Mm-hmm. Right now, I don't feel that way.
You know, I think it was, Kellyanne Calloway or whatever her name is, that it was
Conway,
yeah, whatever. But she again reiterated on a show the other day or other night or whenever, and you know, you have to step back and think about what she said, but she's so right. Here is a man walking into the most powerful office in the world that doesn't owe anybody anything. Nobody paid for his campaign. Nobody paid for Trump One Airlines. Nobody, you know, he's self-funded. And granted, yeah, he did get some money towards the end, but still, he doesn't owe you a favor or me a favor or anybody else a favor. And the more I thought about that, how refreshing that is. We don't know, from Republican to Democrat to whoever, how much each one of those people owed when they went into office, the favors they owed, be it to a pharmaceutical friend or a, you know, a missile friend or an airline friend or who knows. But it's, to me, that's very refreshing to know that Trump goes in owing no one anything.
I'd like to be like that.
Well,
maybe you are.
Huh, yeah, right. Well, I am, because I haven't got anything anybody wants, so I am like that, yes. I'm independent.
No debt, no assets.
Yeah.
It's a zero-sum game for me.
That's it.
But we've got beautiful snow out here in Portland, Oregon. I'm telling you, the snow has been here for almost a week. And it is still here. It melted a little bit yesterday around the edges, but, boy, it's been beautiful.
Well, I hate to do this to you, my friend, but you know what time it is? It's time.
It's quitting time. Close up the barn and go to the house.
That's it. Go check on the pigs. We'll be back next week on the That other guy. Yeah. We'll be back next week, so stay tuned for the NSPS Hour with our friend Mr. Kurt Sumner coming your way very shortly. We'll be back right after this. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dave.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues